Please join me in prayer in regard to the message today. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts this day be acceptable in your sight. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I would imagine that the Cain and Abel story is well known to most of us since Sunday school days. It is not just a narrative about murder. It is also about acceptable sacrifice or offerings to our God. And a message of the same title was written recently by the Reverend Walter A. Meyer III, a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's where Pastor Mark went to school. And Dr. Meyer III has a small but important connection with my family tree, although he probably doesn't know it. He is a relative, a descendant of the former Dr. Walter Meyer of the Lutheran Hour. And some of you know this, but many do not, that God worked through the preaching of Dr. Meyer of the Lutheran Hour and brought our family to faith in Jesus Christ. So anytime I see the name Meyer, it's sort of special to me. I borrowed some of Dr. Meyer's sermon, particularly things dealing with the heart, but added much of my own. Let me say, first of all, that this message is based on Genesis 4. Genesis is a book of beginnings. And as I stand here this day, I am thankful that I am a member of a church where practically all of its scholars and ministers teach that Genesis is a literal historical narrative. If we try and dismiss the early chapters of Genesis as being symbolic or saying they don't matter, we leave ourselves in a quagmire with many things unanswered. For Genesis tells us of the many things God created and man's fall into sin. It tells how God initiated and made covenants with His chosen people and pledged His love and faithfulness to them. Genesis gives the first revelation of God's plan to redeem people from death and the forces of evil. It contains the oldest description of faith and the result of faith. That's Genesis 15:6, if you want to look it up. And the first promise of a Savior is given in Genesis 3:15, where the Lord reveals that the seed of a woman will defeat Satan and his offspring. Genesis is very important. So you heard the account again this morning. Why was Abel's offering acceptable to God and Cain's offering was not? What does God look at to determine whether to accept a sacrifice or not? And Dr. Meyer, in his sermon, makes a strong case that God looks at the heart. His judgment concerning one's heart helps determine whether the sacrifice is acceptable or not acceptable, or an offering. Same thing. Cain and Abel had different hearts when they brought their offering to the Lord. Cain brought his sacrifice with a heart that was not right with God. God knows everything. He knows us inside and out. And God looked at Cain's heart and things were not right. So God rejected his offer. And Abel brought his sacrifice with a heart that was right with God. And God also looked at Abel's heart and at his offering, and God accepted Abel's offering. Let's not miss something important here. God's looking at hearts did not end with Cain and Abel. He does the same thing today with us and our sacrifices and offerings. Here's a chance for some self-reflection for you and me. How does your heart look to the Lord this morning? What kind of a heart is not right with God? The kind of a heart when a person just goes through the motions. Some people undoubtedly give to God reluctantly because it's the expected thing to do. There are undoubtedly some people who don't really want to give anything, but it would make them look bad. That's the kind of heart that does not really love God and does not appreciate all that God has done for us. That's the kind of heart Cain had. Now, with all that said, the situation was redeemable. This could have had a much better outcome. The Lord apparently spoke to Cain. And he said, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Merit and desire is for you, but you must rule over it." So Cain had a chance to reverse things, didn't he? He could have repented at this point of his selfishness and brought an honorable gift to the Lord. But Cain did not. One of my teachers long ago told me that the sun in the sky often reminds him of God's word. He says the sun, when it shines down on things, often makes them melt. I certainly know that's true because I've had a number of delicacies to eat that have melted because they've been left in the sun. But the sun does not make everything melt. Some things it shines on, it just makes them harder and more resistant. And he said, God's word is often like that in regard to our hearts. Hopefully we hear God's word and our hearts sort of spiritually melt when we realize that we have done wrong. But we know about God's grace and we are thankful and we follow the path He has set out for His people by which we can make amends for what we've done wrong. But not everybody's heart works that way. A person can hear God's word And their heart seeks out excuses to justify itself. And it becomes even more rebellious. One good example of that in the Bible, you'll remember, is Pharaoh. We were told that God's word hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that's what happened with Cain. Instead of admitting he was wrong and changing his way, he kept his sin, and his sin gave birth to more sin. See, there is a danger about sin. When a person does not repent of their sin, it often leads into deeper sin. Abel was not responsible for the trouble Cain was in, but Cain's pride had taken a hit. And his lack of repentance finally led to the act of killing his brother. And when God confronted Cain after the murder, he even gave a disrespectful answer to God and showed no remorse for what he had done whatever. What kind of a heart is right with God, making one's sacrifices acceptable? And King David answers that for us in Psalm 51. It states, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." Contrite means sorry. "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And to be honest, we must admit that even we in Christ's New Testament church share the same sinful nature that got the best of Cain. We would all do well to acknowledge that in the lives of all of us at some time, sin is crouching at the door, hoping to get advantage over us. And that's why the Apostle Peter is recorded as saying in 1 Peter 5, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Don't take your unconfessed sin lightly. It can destroy you. But while we're on the lookout, we should be comforted that God has given us what He promised to give us. What did He give us, according to the Scriptures? A new heart. This is the heart of faith. And faith is created and preserved by God in His mercy and love. Romans 10:17 describes this spiritual miracle when it says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." The believer's heart believes in the triune God and in Jesus Christ as the Savior. Through Him we have forgiveness of our sins and everlasting life. And the heart of faith grasps Christ and so is right with God. Despite his sinful nature, the Bible tells us the believer is covered before the eyes of God with the righteousness of Christ, acquired and given to us because of His holy life and His atoning death on the cross. That's how it works. And this heart of faith should lead a person to bring his best gifts to the Lord willingly. God no longer asks for animal sacrifices like Abel gave, does he? But they had a place, they foreshadowed the coming and the all-availing sacrifice of the Lamb of God. But these sacrifices were brought to an end by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. So, what are the acceptable sacrifices we are to offer to the Lord today? Since he no longer asked to bring animals and sacrifice them to the Lord. And you know, our sacrifices today include monetary offerings, but not only just these. We also bring the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 tells us about that if you'd like to look it up. That's the sacrifice also, praising the Lord. We serve the Lord by caring and helping other people. In fact, our whole lives are to be offered as a sacrifice to the Lord. As we are motivated and empowered by the Lord, how does he do that? By his word and sacrament. As we are motivated and empowered, we dedicate ourselves to serving him. Let us, by his grace and power, continue to do so. Amen.